Now let's continue our conversation about shifting populations as people leave their hometowns, seek education, employment, adventure, and then somehow in one way or another find their way home. TED is a nonprofit platform devoted to spreading ideas, usually in the form of short power talks of 18 minutes or less. In the fall of 2012, TED Talks Online celebrated their 1 billionth video view, and currently more than 6.8 million people subscribed to their web videos. And somewhere behind the scenes in Wessington Springs, South Dakota, is Alex Dean. He's a web engineer tasked with building TED.com. A native of Wessington Springs, Alex traveled the world before returning to the town 8 years ago. Potluck Society host Hugh Weber caught up with Alex for a conversation about designing a life he loves in his hometown.
The best way I can put it is that to me, this little town that I live in is like, it's like a crazy relative, you know, like there's all kinds of things that make you roll your eyes and you just like, you can't believe this place sometimes. But at the end of it, I got so much love for the place. So, you know, like that's the spirit I want to come through, even if I have a couple of things that I think really could be better or I wish were different.
Knowing that your wife wasn't from the area, knowing that, you know, heading from Wessington Springs to St. Olaf is a little like heading to Swarthmore from Milbank, right? These are premier institutions, and you were on a trajectory. When you left high school, did you expect to come back?
No, in fact, quite probably the opposite. When I 18-year-old Alex was bound and determined never to return. I was fed up with small towns and I wanted out. I wanted somewhere. I think at the time I thought everybody here is closed-minded and doesn't care about the world outside of this little town, and I was fed up and I wanted something else. And you know, I don't exactly think I was wrong. I just think my perspective was, well, it was the perspective of an 18-year-old who needs to get out and see the world. You know what I mean? And the thing that is different now for me is, I mean, well, one, I have been able to get out and see the world, and I feel like been able to do a lot of things on my own terms, and you know, discover the places that I really want to discover. And I got a chance to not just look at the horizon, but think like, well, what's over there? I'm going to go over and find out. And, you know, a lot of the story that I was telling you is a lot of travel, like being able to see the world has always been really important to me. So I think, that was high on my mind when I was getting out of high school. After doing those things, after kind of realizing, yeah, actually I can go all kinds of places. If I put my mind to it or save my money or do whatever I need to do, that all those things can be possible. And so, you know, I've lived in Scotland, I've lived in Bolivia, I've lived in Arizona, you know, like all these places, and I kind of stack them up against each other, and I think about what day to day really mattered to me. When we're not talking about like when I want to go off and have an adventure, I mean, then that could be anywhere. But when I think about most of life is not you know, jumping out of airplanes or crazy stuff. It's just, you know, waking up in the morning and doing your daily thing, and where do I want that to be? And I got to thinking more about, well, a lot about my family and wanting to be able to see them more often, but then also just kind of being free of kind of the nuisances of living in a city, to be honest. I mean, like just wanting to run to the grocery store and get a couple of things and not have to stand in a line that's 15 people deep. Or, I mean, even simple things like getting your driver's license renewed that, you know, I remember in Denver that taking hours. And now when that happens here, I go to the courthouse over lunchtime and I talk to a lady who goes to our church and she takes my picture and then I'm done and it took 5 minutes. I mean, that kind of stuff is, it's really nice. And you know, now that I have kids, I tell them when they're bored in the house, I throw them outdoors. I don't literally throw them outdoors, but I, you know, open the door and say, go out there. There's a giant field in our backyard. Go find something to do. Make some time for yourself. And I don't think about, I don't really worry about what they're going to get up to. And if they disappear for a couple of hours, that's like cool with me. And if we were still in Tempe or wherever, I don't know that I would feel that way. So, you know, those kind of things are on my mind more, and so I guess that's just a to contrast 40-year-old Alex with 18-year-old Alex. I don't think that that kid was wrong, but I think my priorities are a little different now.
Yeah, and I think this aspect of children is important, and I've experienced it myself, but I want to really focus on you in this conversation, Alex. So my question would be for you personally and professionally, I assume it's been both hard in some ways and easy in others. What have some of those things been? What have been some of the challenges, but also, you know, you've explained some of the benefits. What have been some of the challenges professionally or personally as you've made the move back over the, you know, you've been now back for years. What was hard early on and what's still hard?
Well, let's see. I mean, so my wife and I were never really that into like going, we're pretty boring people, I guess I'd have to say. We don't go, we were never really that into going out on Saturday nights. But one thing that we did do fairly often was try a different restaurant every week, for instance, you know, and when you're in a city of 3 million people, you kind of never run out of places to try. And I think that was one thing that was an adjustment for us. I mean, it sounds like a minor thing, but honestly, like that was one of our things we did. So we had to come up with different ways to have a night out, and whether that was, you know, cooking for ourselves, or whether it was, you know, making time to go to a restaurant in Mitchell or Huron or Sioux Falls. That was just a little different. That's a fairly minor thing. You know, professionally, I will say that if having a career as like being a big shot in software was going to be like a top priority for me, this was not a good choice. As in, like, I should have, if I would move to New York, I could go a lot of places. I don't want to, comes off sounding a little arrogant. I just mean like,
But you're a talented guy with a deep expertise, and you have seen the world. You've had these experiences, so you're a valuable commodity with your skill set.
Yeah, well, a guy I went to grad school with in Denver is some kind of vice president at Etsy, and will probably be the CTO or CEO of the place someday because he's brilliant. And I got all kinds of respect in the world for him. And I think if that was a path that I really wanted to be on, this is not the place for me. But to be honest, those day-to-day little things about just having kind of a slower pace of life, that was a bigger deal to me, and being close to where my family is was a bigger deal to me. And I'll tell you, New York's a cool place. It's a great place to visit. Mm. It would make me insane to live there. And like, it isn't my quality of life just would not be what it is. For me, I have nothing bad to say about any of the people who live there. Especially since working for TED, I've made a lot of really good friends in New York City, and I will tell you that a lot of the contrasts that I sometimes hear people around here make about, oh, I could never live in a city, those people are rude, they never take care of each other. I don't think there's any truth in that. I've never seen any truth in that at all. My experiences of going, especially to New York, my experiences with strangers there have been overwhelmingly positive. You know, you ask people for directions, and people make time to help you out and help each other out. So I see that happening both in, I see that happening in urban and rural settings. And so when I hear people kind of trying to make this, I think, kind of simplistic comparison of people in small towns care about each other more or look out for each other more, I don't really actually think that's true. But New York would still be too much for me.
What has surprised you or what has caught you off guard over the last 8 years about raising children back in the place that you're from? As you've settled into what I'm sure is normal now, 8 years into it, what has surprised you? What maybe continues to surprise you about the life you've designed?
Well, it's surprising to me at the same time that everything changes and so many things are new in the world, how many things can seem so familiar. I mean, I think that's honestly one of the things that's so appealing about living here to me. You know, my daughter's teacher was one of my teachers, and this is not the first time that that's happened. You know, my son had a teacher who was my teacher. I mean, that's a real simple way to say it, but there are lots of rhythms to life here that remind me a lot of being a kid, whether it's my son going to baseball practice early in the summer mornings, or taking piano lessons next door in the house that my aunt used to live in. You know, just there's the patterns of my life that are kind of laid all over this town are still really present in my kids' lives. And that's, honestly, that's a bigger deal than the short lines at the grocery store or the DMV or, you know, the other kind of things those are easy things to tell people about why it's nice to live in a small town. But the just feeling connected to stuff that goes really deep for me and for my family and for people that I've known my whole life, those are the things that are really significant.
Thanks, Hugh Weber. You can listen to the Potluck Society podcast on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts.